Okay, so last time we talked about Shulas Mot B'Miktas and the idea of what is the Mechayiv of Mot B'Miktas, right? Why when you're Kofar Bakol and you say, nah, it never happened, are you not Chayiv Shulah at all? But if you're Modeh that some of it happened, then suddenly you're Chayiv to make a Shulah. So, like, what's up, right? Why? That's not fair. And we discussed either the very fact that Mot B'Miktas is the source of the Chiyuv, right? Because you're modu miktas, that gives us raglayim ledever. We think you look guilty. It makes the other guy's claim really, really powerful because it's been proven to be partially true. It's been corroborated, let's say, to a certain extent. Or that legally, right, just gives you a certain, the whole case, a certain standing in Beis Din that it's like a real case that's in front of the court. While if you deny everything or you like admit everything, so then right, there's no court case here. But once you have like a real court case, so then, okay, there's a court case. You're standing before the judges and then they can force you to, to defend yourself or to really stand by your claim, etc. Now we're going to, there's like a continuation of the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where it says, Hacha, the context, a little bit before this, right, is until now we were saying that the fact that both of them are holding on to it, right, half and half, leads us to this idea, and maybe it follows Reb Chiya's opinion that when you have Edim, that each one, that someone has a certain amount of debt to the other, it creates like a sort of automatic modi b'miktas. Right? Not by your direct acknowledgement, but through the acknowledgement, kivyachal, or the support of the Edim. The Edim testify that you owe part of this guy's claim. So it's similar to modim miksa. So B'chiyah says it's the same thing, it's chayav shvua. She said, wait a second, over here, you have two people holding on to this talus, in Shnayim Ochsin, and we know, anan sadi, my the toughest haidi day, my toughest haidi day, shouldn't that be the same idea? So you said, no, hacha, ki hechi danan sadi behai, anan sadi behai. Right? But just like we have anan sadi behai, we also have anan sadi on the other guy. Right? We also have anan sadi that the other part is his. Okay? Vafidu hachi mishtabea. Elaki itmar, vatanatuna, a idach terbichia itmar. So that's not a problem. That's a, right? This doesn't contradict Rav Chiya, because he's actually making a Shavua, right? So, okay, so this is a problem for a different mimer of Rav Chiya. Why? Dam Rav Chiya, also known as Rav Chiya Bas Raisa, Rav Chiya's second statement, Manali biyadcha, you owe me 100 bucks. Vahala omer, ein lacha biyadi ela chamishim zuz, vehelach chayev. Okay, so this guy says, you owe me 100 bucks. And he says, I do not owe you 100 bucks. In fact, I only owe you $50, and here you go. Right? So he says, chai, my time, hey, lach nami ki modim miktas, dami. Okay, even if you give it right away, or you hey, lach it, whatever that means, or you here you go it, you're still going to be chai b'shvua. My time, hey, lach modim miktas atayna, dami. The tana tuna, but the other tana says, shnayim ochzin b'talis. He says, Halach is going to be Pater. Right? If you, here you go it, then you're Pater. Why? Because Kivan da Amar le Halach, Hani zuzi de komodi begavaihu kiman de nake lehu milvadam. Okay, so now I said halach. So it says if I already gave them to you, or it's left the milva already has them, and they're done. That's it. That's not relevant anymore, right? Beina chamishim and the other 50 halomodi. I say I'm kofer bakol. Hilkach leka hodas miktas ataina. So there's no modu miktas. Half of it I gave to you already, and half of it I deny entirely. Right? You're all thinking, oh, okay, it's kind of cool, but isn't every time you're modim miktas? So you say, well, on half of it, I denied the whole thing. On half of it, I admitted the whole thing. So you know, what makes this so special? Right, which is exactly going to be what we're going to try to figure out. So on the one hand, it kind of makes sense, right? Whatever I admit it and like, we're done. And whatever I denied entirely, I'm still denying entirely. So why can't we just sort of split it into two separate claims and say, well, claim one, I admitted to entirely. So I don't have to make a shavua because I admit, right? And claim two is something I totally deny. So the Rambam explains halach. By the way, we pass in halach, right? The halach gets you out of a shavua. So the Rambam explains, says, toin metaltlin al chaveru, v'kafar bakal, and you denied the whole thing. Va'amar lo hayu advar me'olam, never happened. O shehoda b'miktsas, v'natno miyad. Okay, the definition of halach, says Rambam, is you actually hand it over right away. You say, you owe me $100, and I say, no, I owe you $50, and I hand you the $50 right there. Va'amar en lecha b'yadi elazeh v'halach. The only thing I owe you is this, here you go, right? Okay. In all these cases of kofer bakal, you're pater. Right? Either because you say never happened, or I say some of it happened, here you go. Right? Or I says, well, yeah, you gave it to me, but I paid you back already. Right? All these are basically cases of kofar bakal. Okay? So someone says, what is halach? It's where you actually hand over the money right there. Right? And the reason why it works to get you out of a shvuas motiv miktas is because you were never motiv miktas. You were kofar bakal. Chronologically, how does this happen? I think it works out very nicely. You say, I owe you money. I give you the money. Right? Note no miad. V'amar en lecha b'yadi alzu v'helach. So at the end of my, right? At the end of the sentence, I actually don't owe you anything. So I'm never motiv b'miktsas, right? Basically this, you come and you say, I owe you money. And I take out $50, I give it to you, and I say, I don't owe you a thing. Right? Because what I'm doing is I'm denying your claim. Now I am paying you the 50, which I actually admit that I owe you, right? But I did that already. Not no miad. Amar ein lecha b'yadi elazit behelach. Right. The claim, the denial, is total. Right. I don't owe you a cent more than these $50. Now get out of here. It's not that I'm saying I do owe you money. But I only owe you 50, right? I'm saying, nah, I only owe you these 50. Now here you go and leave me alone, right? Just in terms of the interaction, as we can get lambda-wise, we have to sharpen it a little more. But in terms of the interaction, right, the interaction is someone makes a claim and the other one makes a complete denial. You say, I owe you money, and I say, no, I don't. Right? Amar, ein lecha b'yadi elazu. I only owe you this. I don't owe you anything else. Right? You come and say, you owe me $100. And I say, I don't owe you a cent more than $50. Here you go. Get out of my face. Right? By the end of that interaction, right, I claim I don't owe you anything. My whole point is that I'm saying I don't owe you anything because I just paid you back right now the bit that I owe you and the rest is totally a lie. Okay? Now, it's very dependent on what? They're kind of like two things. One is that it's formulated as an ein lecha. You don't, right? I don't owe you anything other than this, right? So it's a denial. But also he's nasum yad, so that I don't actually owe you any money now. Right? Now, how effective this should be, or let's say I have kind of one of these without the other, right? Let's say I said nasum yad, but I said like, let's say it was mode, then he said, yeah, you're right. I do owe you money, but I only owe you 50. And here I'm going to pay you back the 50 right now. Right? So there's like a hoda, you know, and then it's followed up by him paying it back. Now, I think for the Rambam, the Ikar is definitely the Nasna Miyad. Okay? Because at the end of their interaction, there's no debt. Okay, well, don't worry. We'll connect it back into all the svaras, and it makes just a lot of sense. Right? Let's say you only have the opposite. Let's say you only have the denial without the instant repayment. Let's say the guy comes up to me and he says, you owe me $100. And I say, no, you liar face. I don't owe you a cent more than 50. Okay? I don't owe you a cent more than 50, and I'm glad to pay it, you know, whenever you want. But I don't owe you a cent more than 50. And I throw something at him. Just, you know, Rav Kodemilsa. Right? Like a book. I throw a book at him. Right? So in that case, would you, according to Ram, right, you shouldn't consider that halach because you're not kofer bakal because you still owe him money. You've been saved, right? On the other hand, you could say, well, verbally, I was actually kofer bakal, right? I denied his claim. Now, I did Darf Agav admit that I do owe him some money, but I'm denying this claim of 100. I'm not saying that your claim is partially right, but I'm saying your claim is specious. Right? The Rambam says, oh, you have to actually be no snow miyad. You actually have to give it over because at the end of the interaction, it has to be that I actually don't owe you any money anymore. Why would that be very helpful? According to which svaras? A bunch. It's helpful for a bunch. It can be it's like a broad spectrum antibiotic. It's like very, it works for a lot. Let it percolate in your head. We'll see a few more sheets and then we'll connect them all. It's just because I think it's, you know, it works out nicely at the end. Okay. The Mi'ira, it says money li biyadcha hala omer in lecha biyadi ela chamishim v'osam chamishim sheyesh lecha biyadi heilach pater hu mishivu asmod miksas sheosam chamishim harei hein kimi shabau liyad hamilva ve'inam bechlal hataina v'nimtza she'in hataina ela bechamishim shekafar v'nimtza shehu kofar bekal hataina. Okay, now it sounds like, right? It says Harehin Kimisha Bo Liad Hamilva. Doesn't actually sound like he paid him. Right? For the Rambam, it was Nasnu Miyad. He actually handed them over right away. He opened up his wallet and he literally handed them over the $50. Here he said, right, Halach, right? It's Harehin Kimisha Bo Liad Milva. Right? It sounds like he hasn't actually given them over. Right? Sounds like maybe he's ready to give them over. He's happy to give them over. He says, okay, let's go to the bank and I'll withdraw $50 and I'll pay you back. Right? So why does that help if he hasn't actually paid it? Because inam bichlal ataina. Because they're no longer part of the claim. Right? I can't summon you to court to pay something that you're willing to pay. I can summon you to the court to pay something that you're refusing to pay. Right? Or that you're in arrears for. But if you're supposed to pay me money and you pay me the money, I can't take you to the court to force you to pay the money because you're already paying the money, right? So they're not bechlal l'taina. So the only claim that is going to court is what? Is the 50. And on that 50, he's kofar baka. Okay? So Miri, it sounds like it's more of like a court issue, right? Or is right, the claim is no longer connected to that first 50, not because I already paid it and it doesn't exist anymore, but because it's not really, adjudicatable because you already you're more than happy to pay it back. The Yesh Mefarshim Atam, Shemikivan Shehu Muzman Achshav Liten Lo Hamitzas, Eino Misyare Shelo Yarichenu Min Hashar, Ve'in Kan Tam Ashtamut Ehu Deke Mishtami. Okay. In both of these cases, he hasn't actually paid back yet, right? For the Rambam, he has to hand it over right away. For the Me'iri, he doesn't have to hand it over right away. The first claim of the Me'iri is it's just not part of the Taina anymore, right? The second claim of the Meiri is, if he's ready, if he says, oh, I'm happy to pay it back to you right now, what does that undermine? It undermines our chashash, that ishtamute kam ishtamit, that he's trying to avoid paying back the loan because he doesn't have funds accessible. Right? But if the only problem is that he doesn't have the funds accessible, so here he's saying, oh, yeah, I'm happy to pay you back, and he pulls out his wallet and he pays him right away. Right? If the whole idea is that really he's just trying to push off repayment because he's in debt, so then, right, why is he so happy to, so quick to pay up? Okay, but those two.
Can't he just have only $50, like let's say it's $100, and like he just happened to have only 50? Like, it's possible it's he's possible. Collecting the money to pay back the debt, and he's at the stage where he's managed to get half of it, and he gets taken to court, and he's like, oh, I have a great idea. I'll just say I have the 50 here and 10 now is it. It seems to me just as reasonable as assuming if he has no money, that he's only going to be willing to pay half of it. Because if he says he's willing to pay half of it, presumably there's some half that they can take from him still. Even if there's no halach immediately.
Oh, right. But I'm saying if the problem is that the guy really wants to pay the whole thing, or ultimately he's going to pay the whole thing, right? But he doesn't have all the money yet, right? He can't pay it. So someone in financial constraints, usually, right, his svar will be that he tries to push it off as much as possible. Right? Here, that the guy is coughing up the money right away. So it kind of puts him in, it implies that that's the amount of money that he's expecting to pay. Right? Meaning if the guy's just saying like, look, I can't make it, so I'm going to say some arbitrary smaller amount, right? Or even not a small arbitrary amount, but he's in debt. So the whole part is that he's in debt and he's trying to, he's trying to avoid paying back, right? Not because he's not willing to pay back ever, but because he can't do it yet, right? Here, the guy is very happy to pay back, right? Muzman achshav liten lo hamitzat, eino yareish lo yarichenu min hashar.
I guess I see it somewhat. I'm just not sure it's like in kan tam is a bit strong. I guess you could say the balance of probabilities, it's a bit less likely still.
Right, but I'm saying if the whole... So what you're asking, I think, is... it doesn't make it impossible that there's a shtemute kan mishtame going on. So what I would say back is that the Meiri in this second argument is assuming or is saying, according to this, of the idea that the whole reason, the whole mechayev of modim mektas is ishtamute kamishtame. So here, there's no reason to be mechayev based on ishtamute kamishtame. There isn't enough of a chashash ishtamute kamishtame to be mechayev a shvuah. Right? Right? Because you're saying, wait a second, if ishtamute kamishtame is a svara of like, that gets rid of the migu, so you can say, okay, but I mean, he still might be mishtamute kam mishtame, right? There's no, it's like still enough of a reason to say that like there shouldn't be a migu here because maybe he wants to play and pay less. Yeah, maybe that's how much he has. But if the whole reason why you're chayv shvua in the first place is because we're choshe that you're mishtamute kam mishtame, that you're pushing off repayment, so then halach undermines that psychological evaluation. It doesn't make it impossible, but it means that just not such a compelling narrative that we're going to be mechayev a shivua based on. Right? Okay. And the guy comes and A says, you owe me 100. And B says, no, I only owe you 50. Right? And then A says, no, I lent you $100. And B says, like, I really only owe you 50. Right? So we could stroke our beards and say, look, it's possible that he only owes him 50. On the other hand, like, maybe he really owes him 100 and he's just having trouble paying back, right? Option story number two is guy comes in and says, you owe me 100. And the guy says, no, I only owe you 50. And hey, look, here's your money, right? Or, okay, and I'll pay you back right now. But like, I don't owe you a dime over 50 bucks, right? So when we stroke our rears, we're like, okay, Well, like, it's possible he owes him more, but we have no reason, right? To assume that ishtemut yehudi kamishtami. Right? It doesn't trip our sensors and say, well, I think there's ishtemut yehudi going on. Right? But you're right that it only really makes sense if the mechayiv is ishtemut yehudi in the first place. If the mechayiv is something about the taina itself is strong enough, or the hoda, you know, creates raglaim ladavar maybe, or like, you know, megalgalin kain gilgal, or something about like the being in Bezdin and having a court case, Bezdin could demand the shvua. So all that, you wouldn't say like, oh, in kan ishtemut yehudi kamishtami. Right? It's only if the ishtemut kamishtami is the whole reason why we're making the shvua in the first place, then we'll say, oh, well, you know, this is just not such strong ishtemut kamishtami anymore. Yeah. Okay, so he has these two reasons, both of which are explaining why saying kelach, right, saying that you'll pay back right away, is good enough to cancel the shvuas modim mikzas, right? Because he's muzman achshav litein lo. Option number one is because now it's not a claim, right? It's not a claim, but it's not a claim in court. You're not claiming it in court anymore because the guy's modeh. You can't take someone to court to do something that he's already doing. You can only take him to court on something that he's in denial about, right? Which is the other chamishim. So he was kofar bakal on the chamishim. The first 50, he said, I'm going to pay you right now. In which case, you can't take him to court over it. In which case, you don't have a court case where there's a modeh b'miktzas. The second one is saying that because he's willing to pay back right away, it's still one claim, right? But because he's willing to pay back right away, it doesn't trigger our, oh, he's just trying to push off repayment because, you know, he's having a cash crunch, because then he wouldn't be so quick to pay up the first 50 either. Right? Okay. Shimi, you have a question?
For all of this stuff, would we not consider someone's, like, if we know someone's super wealthy, like, we would maybe perhaps treat it differently?
I don't know. Not necessarily, because if our whole, first of all, part of our whole situation here, right, is ishtemut kamishtame, you're right. So why don't we say, oh, if he's really wealthy, then we should assume that he's not ishtemut kamishtame, right? On the other hand, people who are to outside appearances are really wealthy, very often have these insane debt structures where they're actually under a huge amount of leverage. All of their assets are like super leveraged. And they're actually potentially under huge debt and have no cash ever, right? And they theoretically own lots of stock and all sorts of things, which are all leveraged up the wazoo, but like they don't actually have any cash on hand. So you can't necessarily assume that just because someone's theoretically wealthy, that they're also not going to have ishtemut kamishtamid issues, right? Where they don't have enough cash on hand to make debt payments and stuff like that. So I don't think so necessarily. If I guess in theory, if you like actually knew that, you know, the dayan, there's always this idea of like, ain la dayan el mashen avros, and it's like, you got to use your shikla das. And if something like screams at you that like something's not right or something doesn't make sense here, then you, the dayan does have a lot of leeway. So yeah, so like if some random sketch guy suddenly like claims like, oh yeah, this, you know, this usher owes me like $100. And the usher's like, you lent me a piece of paper once, like, you know, like, or, you know, you, trying to think of what's like a good example. I can't think of any examples, but, you know, I don't know, like he's some sketch guy who happens to like do catering for the shul, and like, the, you know, the usher had some big kiddush, and then the guy's like, oh yeah, you owe me like $10,000. And the usher's like, no, like I owe you like $100 because when I paid the bill for the kiddush, like afterwards you were like, oh yeah, you know, like whatever, the meat was more expensive or something because whatever. So you also owe me that. I didn't pay that yet, but like I paid you everything else. So the idea of like ishtemut kamishtami in that case is like a little bit less, right, less relevant. And you know the guy has cash on hand, like you've seen his balance, you see his wallet. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like you, whatever. So then maybe, Because the Dayan does have a lot of leeway, lemaisa, in you know, following his gut and what he thinks makes sense. But in theory, it shouldn't necessarily be different. And I think Manash Pukhazi, like there's a lot of cases, Bismanazeh, of people who in theory are really rich, but they don't have any cash and all their wealth is stock and all their stock is super leveraged, you know? So it's actually not too far-fetched. Okay. The Ritva says, he brings up, Rashi says, what is halach? It's where you say, the money that you originally gave me is still sitting in my safety deposit box. Okay? And they are yours now. Wherever they are, they go back to you. Okay? That's what Rashi says. V'nira midvarav, tarti, chada, demil v'shahotzi, afal pi shenozen lo molos achirim, bebezdin lo chashav halach. And it sounds from Rashi that it has to be the original molos. Okay? V'od d'choshu lo hotziam behem be'em b'ershuto, afal pi she'inam atu bebezdin hevi halach. He says, I have two things Rashi is assuming. One is that it has to be the original money. And two is that you don't actually have to hand them over in Bez. The Adaraba, Ibcha Mistabra. Says, I think the opposite makes way more sense, right? Koshin Nosin Maos Bebezin, Ze Halach Gamor. When you actually hand over the money in Bezin, that's Halach. That's good Halach, right? Ki ilu para ve heavy beidach kofer bakal. It's as if I paid it back already, because I actually just handed over the money in Bezdin, in front of you. Now you have the money. So now I'm saying, here's the money that I owe you. And now what you're claiming from me, kofer bakal. So what happens? Now there's just a kofer bakal, right? Because I already paid you back. The choshe einam sham bebezdin, but let's say the money's in my safety deposit box. In kan priya shoklam. I didn't pay you back. What I'm saying, I'm going to pay you back. Well, whoop-de-doo, like, why do we care that you said you're going to pay him back, right? You actually didn't pay him back, which means that he's taking you to court for owing him $100. You're admitting that you owe him 50. You still owe him 50. So who cares that you said you'll pay him back? You still owe him 50, and you, right, you were moed to be mixed a satina. If I actually pay you back in Bezdin, I don't owe you 50 anymore, right? Because I just paid you back. I just handed them over. So now you're claiming only 50 and I'm denying the whole thing because I actually already paid you back on the 50 and we both agree I already paid you back on the 50, right? Mishum dehevi zuzi demilva gufe bershuse, my heavy. And who cares if the original coins are still in your safety deposit box? Deha milva lo tzanit na vidide ninu, right? And as we know, milva lo tzanit na, right? It's like we spent some time on that. When you give someone a loan, the actual coins become the other person's. Right? And they don't have to pay back the original coins, even if they still have them, because they just owe you the value, but the coins themselves become yours. Whoops. But let's say I give you a deposit, an object to wash for me, and you say, you have my vase. And I say, yes, I do have your vase. And you say, you have my two Ming vases. And I say, actually, I only have one Ming vase from of yours, and it is currently sitting in my, you know, the foyer, and you can come and pick it up anytime you want. So since it's a picadon and it still belongs to the original guy, so we consider it, right? Kol hecha de'ise, wherever it is, b'rishus de'mar. It remains in the rishus of the original owner because it's actually yours, and I'm just watching it for you, or borrowing it from you. What if I give you a collateral? Let's say I don't pay back. Let's say you come to Bez and you say, you owe me $100. And I say, I only owe you 50. And here is my phone as collateral, right? And you guys say, wait a second. Not worth $50 as a collateral. And then I say, okay, fine. I will give you something else that's worth $50 as a collateral. And then, right, we want to say, is that halach or not? Why yes, why no? Before the Ritva tells us that he thinks no. What do you guys think? I give you a picada. I give you a collateral. I say a mash gun, sorry. And I say, boom, here's a smash gun. You have collateral. You can force, you know, you have the means of collection. What do you say? Oh, nobody's moving. Sorry about that. Okay. Okay. So, right, picadon. Someone's about to say something, and then my internet dropped.
Wait, did you ask about picadon or about mishpat?
No, my internet's still not working properly. Everything's coming through. Say it again.
Did you ask about
picadon
or about mishpat?
Mashgon. Sorry, I said picadon. But then I meant mashkon, then I corrected myself to mashkon, and then my internet dropped.
Oh, great. Okay. So I said, with limited knowledge of how mashkon actually works, I would assume it is like halos in the sense that there's a willingness to hand it immediately over and the initial sum is untouched. But
still not coming through properly. Can you say that again?
No, the issue is that I'm driving out of Mongucha, so the microphone just might not be great, period.
Okay, no, but also my internet's bad. So I'll be modem the mixas. Partially it's, you know, my microphone's fault and my speaker's or internet connection's fault, and partially it's your microphone's fault.
Got it. So I was saying, with limited knowledge of how mashkon works, I would say it does resemble haloth in the sense that the sum that you handed over is untouched and you're willing to hand it over immediately. But I would say it's not like halos, in the sense that it's a different kind of transaction. The thing that you're holding doesn't really represent borrowing anything. So you're not, there's not like a hope that you're admitting to, or trying to pay back. I don't know. It's hard to end out and to how it's different, but I know that Rit was happy on having the fact that it's different than if he could help.
Right. So I didn't catch everything. I think you're going in the right direction from like the outside, but I don't know what's wrong with the internet here. But yeah, I mean, according, if you take like the Meiri's approach, right, where it's like, oh, it's just saying that you're willing to do it right away and that you're like prepared to pay back right away. So then actually handing over a mashkon, which you could actually bring to court and actually use as payment if necessary, right, and use to force them to pay up is great, right? Because it's like the guy's like not being ishtamutik mishtame according to Meiri option two. And even according to option number one, right, he's saying, look, I totally admit it. I freely acknowledge it. I'm not resisting in any way, shape, or form. And not only that, like here is this, you know, is this amazing way to ensure compliance, right? So you don't have to take me to court over this because I actually just gave you a mashkon, which gives you the power to, you know, to get your payment. On the other hand, if you take like a Rambam approach, then like, why? No, that doesn't help because at the end of the day, right, you still owe him money. You might have given him a mashkon which says like, oh, here's a tool to make sure that you actually get your money at the end of the day, but I still owe you money. And you'll later have to take me to Beis Din if you want to use this mashkon as repayment, right? You have to go to Beis Din and right, have Beis Din authorize you to collect the debt from the mashkon. In which case, right, Beis Din's still involved in that part of the debt. So I was still modeh b'miktzas, right? Because the Rambam's whole idea is what? Once you give over the money, that part of the claim just doesn't exist anymore. And the other part, you're kofer bakol. But if it's only a mashkon, so Beis Din wise, it still exists, right? Because you still owe him the money. It's just that he can easily collect it, or he can force you to allow, you know, he can force collection. But ultimately, you still owe him money, right? It says the Ritva, right? Hachi muchach lekamar mashkon lo chashiv helach the hamuchos shuma v'guvayna. You'd still need to evaluate it and right? And collect the money in Bezdin. Elam King, dumb of Ktuvin, Venos Nolo, Miyad, Bipira on Gamor. Unless obviously you give it as payment, in which case you paid, right? But if you're not paying up, you're just giving him a collateral, then you're stuck, right? It doesn't change things. You are, in fact, still indebted to him. You are modern mixas, you're still chayv b'mixas. V'yadina de'leisle zuze le'idach, de'chol hecha de'isle zuze, be'en leisle le'mifre'e b'shumas m'taltlin k'zikzidin r'basa. V'zer bar r'pasha, if you have any aseiti, you think this is obvious, like I don't understand Rashi. Avabisha rabbi b'gadol m'cholkim b'daf, even though like there are other big, the Rashi thinks otherwise. But I just don't understand why, like, I think they're wrong, right? So now we understand that pretty well. So the question is, like, what's up with Rashi, right? Rashi is just a very strange opinion. You don't actually have to give it back. What do you say?
Can I ask a clarification question?
Yeah, sure.
On the Ibn okay, before the Ibn Misabra, it seems like the Ritva, but if you say that you don't have the money on you in Dikin, that's no problem. So then in the Ibn Misabra, he says it doesn't count as Kira'an, but does that mean it's still fine for Ritva?
Sorry, I can't hear. Can you guys hear what Tila's saying? Did you have what she... Okay, so it's not just me. I think the microphone is not picking. It's only picking up like every other word. So maybe just shoot me a WhatsApp after Shir, and I'll hopefully be able to a better mic position. Let's do the Tosfos. Yeah, Tosfos Rush. Tosfos Rush says, "Hani chamishin de komodile kima de naket luhu mil vedam." There's some svarim that have the girsa that basically, like, even though generally milva lohotzanitna, since they're still be'en, and I'm saying you can just have them back, what am I basically doing? Right? It's like I'm saying that I'm never being mode to anything, right? Because I'm not saying that I owe you money. What's the Tosfos Rashi saying? Even though milva lahotzanina, right? Rashi's case is based on the idea that it's not good enough. Let's back up for half a second. According to the Ritva, right? According to the Rambam, paying back in Bezdin is great because now you're denying the whole thing because the half that you paid up already doesn't exist, right? Says Rashi, no, you admitted that you owe him the money. You're paying up now. That doesn't change the fact that he claimed 100, right? And that was true. Right, a little bit of a teaser, right? If the reasoning behind Mode Miktas is because it makes the taina of the towing stronger, right? The fact that I'm claiming the money and you're admitting that I'm right, then you really do owe me half of the money, makes my claim better. So then Halach shouldn't help you. If you're just paying me back now, it's like, okay, great. That still proves that my claim is at least partially right. Correct? If it's about making the borrower look suspicious because he's being modem mixas, so then you could say, well, it depends how he's modem mixas, right? But if it's about the lender's claim looking better because it's been proven partially true, it's been corroborated, so then why should Halach help you? Right? So says Rashi, is that since they're munachim be'en, it's kemisha lohode shum davar dami. Kema denakele hu kodem shahode. It's as if the guy already had it before I was mode. Why does that help us? Right? Because for Rashi, or if you take this approach, then what we kind of need to do is go back in time and say that he never made a claim, or his claim has never been corroborated. Why? Because he already has the money. They're munachin be'en. The money is still just sitting in, you know, in the safety deposit box where they put them. All right? It's still held in escrow, let's say. So if it's still held in escrow, then it doesn't corroborate his claim at all. Right? If I owe him money, that corroborates his claim, even if I pay it back right away. But if I say I don't owe you money, then the money is still held in escrow. So I'm essentially your claim has been totally denied, right? It hasn't been corroborated because I'm saying the money is still in escrow. Right? It's going back, kodem shahode. Before you made your claim, you already had it. I never admitted it. You already had it before I admitted anything, right? In which case, there's no corroboration to your claim because it's still an escrow. Okay? Now, I'm just going to skip ahead to here. Let's say to here, right? Where are we? Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's say the chiyuv mamon on half is what forces shvuas moed v'miktsas. Right. The mitzias that you owe me half. Right. Kind of leads us to a chiyuv on the second half because of like a din in bezdin. Right. So then, what can we say? Well, if in bezdin you're not actually chayiv mamon because you paid it up already. Right. So then we can't be Megalgel Kain Gilgal, right? We can't say, oh, since Bezdin sees that you owe him money, and they're right, so they're Mechayev you the money that you owe him, they can also be Mechayev you a Shvuah, because they can't be Mechayev you the money that you owe him because you already paid him, right? But that's only going to work what? If you actually handed over the money, right? If it's about Raglaim Ladavar, so then. Right, that's like the second argument of the Meiri. So then, that depends, right? It depends how you evaluate the situation. But you could say that there's still ragayim ladavar, or you can say like the second option, the Meiri, that well, the fact that he's willing to pay back right away gets rid of the ragayim ladavar, right? Because he's just saying like, no, I don't owe you more. I sent more than 50, and here and I'll pay it right now, right? It kind of gets rid of our psychological evaluation, right? If it makes the taina of the claimer more powerful, more relevant, as a taina chashuva, right? So the fact that you're paying him back right away doesn't stop his taina from being a taina chashuva. In which case, says Rashi, I don't care if you pay back right away. What I care is that you say, you don't even have to pay back right away. What you really need to do is say that the money is actually still in escrow and that you never owed him money. Because once you admit that his claim is partially true, you've corroborated his story, right? Only by claiming the money's still in escrow can you say that I'm not corroborating his story at all, right? Or similarly, Rashi and Baba Kama, who said that really once the guy makes a claim, you need to make a shvua to counter his claim, right? But Rashi, right? The answer is, okay, if the claim itself is what's machayev a shvua, and not the hodah, so then halach doesn't help you. What's the one way to get out of there being a claim at all? Right? You need to undermine his claim, or you need to say that there is no claim. The one way to do that is to say that the money's still in escrow, and therefore, right, there is no claim in the first place. The money's still in escrow. You could just reverse the charge. Right? Don't worry, we'll do this more on, I think we're going to stop now, and we'll do this more on Wednesday. And we'll also continue with exactly what the Hagdara of Halach is, right? What exactly are you doing and how to do it in order for it to count as Halach. And then we'll tie it back in to all the Shitos about Modi Mixas again and like more one by one. And hopefully that will be. But you guys will all get the basic idea, right? That you have these different ideas about what Modi Mixas is. When it comes to Shvuas Modim Mikzas, there are actually very few nafkaminas, right? The one nafkamina would be the nafkamina and the Amoraim about whether or not you would say that two Edim could create a situation of Halach. Right? The only one idea of nafkamina was like, if you think that's a psychological evaluation, so then two Edim coming and saying, oh, he really is chayiv in half, is not going to trigger modim miktsas, but every other svara would. By halach, suddenly it depends a lot on what you think the svara for shvuas modim miktsas is, right? If you think it's about the defendant, right, and the quality of his defense, so then you need one type of definition of halach for halach to be relevant. If you think it's about the person making the claim and it's taina chashuva, right, you'd need a very different definition of halach because it would have to focus on the claim and not on what happens afterwards, right? If you think it's about something in Beis Din, so then you kind of got to figure out, okay, well, what, is it like the beginning of them coming to Beis Din? Is it the end of them coming to Beis Din? Is it their interaction in Beis Din? Or is it, what chiyuv they end up with at the end? Like when Beis Din, like it wants to be Megalgel, Kein Gilgal. So it's not just about what happened, the Taina and the counter Taina in Beis Din. It's also about there's a chiyuv mamon, which then would mean Megalgel, Kein Gilgal into a Shvua. But you actually need a chiyuv mamon. If you already paid back and you don't owe the guy a cent because you actually literally handed him over the cash now, so then there's nothing to be Megalgel, Kein Gilgal from. Okay? So we'll just go through the Rishonim and work out exactly what Shita in Modim Miktsas works with their Shita in Halach on Wednesday. Okay, Shukach.